You got your Bible tonight. We're going to read out of John chapter number 4. And I want to talk about, we talked about last Sunday night, what to do when you are barren. Tonight I want to talk about what to do when you are weary. The Bible says, and I believe in prayer, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I've been thinking about this today, the importance of prayer. Sometimes you can pray and God will begin to bless and things begin to go the right direction. Guess what happens? All of a sudden the prayer and the urgency, it's not what it used to be. But I think it's kind of like the song that Brother Keith sang earlier, I just came to talk to you, Lord. I didn't come to ask for anything specific. I didn't come because I have any special request, but I just come to talk to you, Lord. I think to maintain the right relationship with God, we need to talk to Him every day. Yeah. Now, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do it? Don't do anything without talking to Him. When something happens, let Him be the first one you call on. When you're going down the road and you see something that troubles you, talk to Him. When you need to make a decision, talk to Him. When you're about to open your mouth and say something that could potentially have implications in somebody's life, talk to Him. When you're making decisions at work, talk to Him. When you're dealing with people, talk to Him. When you need more work, talk to Him. When you need help with your children, talk to Him. When you need help with your marriage, talk to Him. The Bible says that we should choose a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And what God wants to do is have a relationship with you. He's waiting on you to call on Him. If you got your Bible, I'm going to read John chapter number 4, verse number 1 through number 6. And then we'll talk about this scripture and I'll give you the things that are on my heart tonight. But what to do when you are weary. But this is where Jesus went and He met a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And He must needs, or of necessity, He must go through Samaria. Then He cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now here's what I want you to see if we look at this scripture tonight. We can be encouraged because sometimes I get weary and I believe you get weary. And sometimes I talk to folks, well, how you doing? Well, I've had a rough day. I'm tired. People ask me, how was your day? Well, there are times I'm really tired. There are times I'm weary. Sometimes I'm weary in body, but weariness comes from a lot of different reasons, okay? Sometimes you can do all the right things and be weary. Now, we have to believe that Jesus, because the scripture teaches us that He didn't sin. The Bible tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace because we have not a great high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But it says He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All that He faced, He did it without failing. You see, sometimes when I get weary, one thing I do is I'm real careful. I watch myself. Heard Charles Stanley one time, he was talking about how we should watch ourselves and not let ourselves get too tired. Because when you get tired, I tell you what I do, I get snappy. I mean, sometimes I come home and I've had a long day and Kendra's had a long day and she'll say something and I say, what do you mean by that? Where if I just got up, I may not even think it. And I look at it sometimes, and I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes we have gotten in arguments over the littlest thing. You know why? Because we're tired. You might as well forget it with Luke. Okay? Other day he went home with somebody, he spent the night with some little friend, okay, or, you know, spending night party away. It don't happen much, but he's getting big enough now, you know. And he come home, he stayed up about all night, and he was meaner than a one-eyed dog, if y'all know what I mean. Mean. I just looked at him, I said, son, here's your two options. You can either go take you a nap, and I'll be understanding, or you can go get that belt, I'll wear it with my hunting pants. He gave me this mean look and growled. I said, let me walk you to your bedroom. Yeah. But you have to be careful that you don't let yourself get too tired. You have to be careful, and some people this is worse than others. You don't let yourself get too hungry. And you have to be careful that you don't let yourself get too lonely. That's why we ministered to someone this week, and we told them, you need to be around God's people. Amen. You know, don't be having trouble and don't have problems and think you're going to deal with it by running off to the world. Amen. God's doing a lot of things at this church, and sometimes people don't get the benefit because they don't take advantage of what God's given here. They say, well, I had a rough weekend. I was all by myself. Well, why didn't you come to church? And when I talk to them and try to get them to understand, you gotta realize where you're at and understand where you are. And I have to, and I try to be conscious of that myself. But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm in the flesh. Sometimes, and I get really tired. It's like this. You ever come home from work and it be one of them days that if you have to cook it, you ain't eating. And the only reason you cook anything is because you got these little kids. I mean, I'd eat a bowl of cereal in a throwaway cup and go to bed. And that's it. That's it. But we have to. We have to. Well, here's what's encouragement looking at this scripture. Be encouraged. If you get weary, Jesus understands because he did too. You know, sometimes you get weary in body. Sometimes you get really tired. Sometimes it's other kind of weariness. Sometimes you're just tired of it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired of it. And you can put, it can be whatever it is, okay? But you can be tired of it. Sometimes you can be weary because you have a limited capacity in the flesh. Sometimes we're weary because of our own failures. It could be our own sin. We could be weary because of burdens that we're carrying. You know, if you ever hear someone that talks about having a heavy burden for somebody, a loved one that they've been working with, and they've been praying for them, and they've been doing their best to help them, they can get weary. Sometimes you can get weary because of trials. Trials that come in life, tests, things aren't going exactly the way that you would like for them to go, and it gets wearisome. Sometimes you can get weary in service. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come up to me since I've been at this church in the past little over a year and tell me to be careful not to burn out. But people do it. Yeah. You can get weary in service, and you can get weary even in ministry. Why? Because we in ourselves have a limited capacity. Now here's Jesus. His whole life was about service, and his whole life was about ministry. And he's going through this place he must pass through, and he comes to this well, and because he's tired, he sits down on the well. Have you ever had this thought, well, I'm going to go to church tonight, but as soon as church is over, I'm going home because I got this and this and this and this to do. And you think you're going home, but you walk out the door, and all of a sudden somebody grabs your arm, and they say, can I talk to you? And they begin to share with you something that's on their heart, and you realize it doesn't matter how tired you are. You can't walk away from them. You can't leave them. You've got to help them. You've got to minister to them. Well, guess what happens in this story? Here's Jesus. He comes to the place where Jacob's well is, and he's wearied from his journey, and he sits down on the well doing all this ministry, all this service, and what happens? Here comes a woman walking up. And this woman, she was carrying a load. And she was coming to draw water. She was coming to get water from the well. But Jesus sees her. And what happens in this story, if we'll look at it, I want to give you just 3 points of what to do when you're weary. And we'll go back to the first one just to complete it. But I want you to see the place that brought him refreshment. He went to a well. And he sat down on the well. And you know, it's not like you and I. Sometimes when I'm weary, I just go in and I can open the refrigerator. And I can get a bottle of water. Or I can get a Coke. Or I can get... And as I mentioned here Sunday night, or talking to someone, when I'm really, really stressed and I want to reward myself, I'll step out and buy a $5 cup of coffee. They didn't have this. Jesus goes and he sits down upon the well. He's looking for a place of refreshment. Now, here's what this place was. It was a place of history. It said it was Jacob's well. And you can go back and you can study the place of history and what it means. But this was a place of refreshment. And this is why sometimes when I tell people, when they say, well, you know, you just don't know what's going on in my life. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And I say, have you taken advantage of what God has offered you? I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people, and they say, I sat at home on Saturday night, and I sat at home on Sunday, and they got all these things going on in their life, and they say, I felt so alone. I said, why don't you seek fellowship amongst God's people? You see, because the church is a place that we can get refreshment. It's a place that we can come, and we can get our energy spiritually back so that we can get what we need for the week to go out and face the world. And I've heard people more than one time say to me at this church, they're concerned about discipleship. They want to see things offered for discipleship. But it troubles my heart to see that people aren't taking advantage of what God's already provided. Amen. Because there's a lot of discipleship opportunity here. And I made this comment once before. You cannot disciple somebody that you can't find. And if we would come to the house of God and get up close to where God's at and seek something from Him, number one, be in His presence. And it's not about who sings. It's not about who preaches. It's about being in the presence of God where you can seek what God has for you in your life. I heard a preacher say this and it made a lot of sense. Don't miss the service that could change the rest of your life. I understand that we get weary. I had a friend who was an evangelist, and he was a trim carpenter. Most people I grew up around, they worked and pastored a church. In a lot of little churches, that's the way that it is. And this man that I know, he in 1 year preached 36 week-long revivals, and he was a trim carpenter. He was an evangelist. And when I look at those things, I want to tell you, there's weariness in the flesh. But how do you get past the weariness in the flesh is you get moved into where the Spirit's at. And when you come into the presence of God and you get a drink from His well in God's house, it is a place of refreshment. And we need to be in His presence to be refreshed. Okay? So I want you to see the place, and I want you to see the person that brought him renewal. Well, here's Jesus sitting on the well, and what happens? Samaritan woman comes walking up to him, and he begins to communicate with her and to talk with her, and he knew in the needs of her heart. And in the 10th verse, Jesus speaks unto her and says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. See, Jesus knows the condition of her heart. He knows the trouble that's in her life. And he begins to minister to her. You know, the best thing to help us sometimes forget about our problems and our weariness is to find somebody who's in worse shape than we are. And I called and I spoke to Brother Perry when Jacob was down at the children's hospital having his surgery. And I just asked Brother Perry how Jacob was doing. And Brother Perry shared with me about all the families he saw. All the little children that were coming in. All the seriousness of their illnesses. And because of the seriousness of their illness, they had to actually take Jacob and postpone his surgery for several hours. And he made a comment, you know, it's pitiful to look at these little kids coming in here and their situation and what they're dealing with. You know, the truth is, when we begin to look at the situations going all around us and we begin to get our eyes on helping somebody, maybe our weariness won't be quite so weary. See, Jesus, he was tired. He sits on the well. He's involved in ministry and service. That's his whole life. And here comes a lady walking up who has great needs. Now, Jesus was tired, but I want you to see the weariness in this woman's life. Look at verse number 9. It says, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." This woman was weary from segregation. She was one of those people that when people see them, they say, she's one of them. And I want to tell you, in the day and time that we're living in today and the changes that we're seeing in our culture, we need to be able to see past those people, or we'll never be able to minister the way that God wants us to minister. You see, because we're responsible for taking the Word of God and the love of God and giving it to whosoever God sends us. And I've said this before, if we get particular about who comes through the door, God will get particular about what goes on inside. That's why we need to be, most important, if we want to be able to minister, we have to be prayerful to seek that God would give us the words. She was weary, and she was surprised that Jesus would even talk to her. Not only was she weary from segregation, she was weary from division. In the 18th verse, as Jesus begins to speak to the woman, and he asks her in the 16th verse to go and call your husband. And she says in the 17th verse, well, I have no husband. And Jesus said, well, you've well said, for you've had five. Sometimes it's easy to look at somebody's life when they're going through trouble. And I've heard people say this. I've heard it said in church. I've heard it said on the front steps of the church. People say something like, well, they made their bed. Let them lie in it. This woman was weary from division. You know how many times people come in here and all they're really looking for, and this is just the truth, they're looking to see if the people in the church are really going to reflect Jesus. See, I've heard comments about people who were atheists say they were intrigued by the man Jesus, but they really don't care for their Christian, because the Christian don't reflect the Christ. This woman had so much division in her life. There had been five, but now there was no one, and she's coming by herself to the well. She's weary. Now, remember, Jesus, doesn't the Bible say that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good? Sometimes when I'm ministering, I'm praying, asking God to speak to my heart, to give me understanding, to give me discernment, so that I won't say the wrong thing, so that I'll be able to. So if I'm going to speak edifying words, lifting up. But I don't know what Christ knows. But he looks at this woman and he sees the brokenness in her life through five broken relationships. But then I want you to see the oppression. Jesus speaks to her in the latter part of the verse. And he says, "And whom you now have is not your husband, and that thou said truly." You see, not only has she had broken relationships, but she was living a broken life. See, I've seen more than one time, really what people want, everybody wants, is somebody to love them. somebody to care for them, somebody to treat them right. And here's a woman who's weary. She's surprised that Christ would even speak to her. Her life has been riddled with division. She is now facing oppression with a broken life. Maybe even asking this question, when will it ever get better for me? Now, I've been tired. But when I'm in a situation that I run into somebody like this, how can I look at them and say, well, I'm too tired. You just go on and deal with your own problems. No. It's just like when Brother Perry was down at the hospital and they said, we're going to have to postpone the surgery on your son. And you look up and here comes one rolling down the aisle that's 5 years old that's got cancer. And they say, we need to take them back before. And you see another one come in and there's something going on in their life. And you look at them and you begin to thank God for the blessings that He's given you. You see, I get weary, but can I tell you, there's no place for Christians to stop in their service for God. Amen. There's just some things that we're going to have to keep pressing on. So we see the place that brought him refreshment, the person that brought him renewal, and I want you to see the plan that brought him rejoicing. Now Jesus begins to speak to this woman. All of a sudden she gets religious. She starts trying to talk to him about religion. And it's not long till he begins to tell her, you don't know what you worship. You need me. See, the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And this woman, she says, well, tell me, explain it to me. And Jesus says in the 26th verse, he said, I that speak unto thee am he. Okay? Now, I believe what I read in this story, this woman got saved, and I'll tell you why. If you go down to the 35th verse, Jesus begins to speak. And this is what is encouraging. This is what brings rejoicing. He said, say not that there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. Here's what's important. What's important is seeing people get saved by the grace of God. But here's why that I believe this woman was a Christian. Look at the 39th verse. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So the rejoicing is in that one person that you might be able to minister to in your life. It's just like when God sends a young person here, or God sends one member of a family here, and they get radically changed or saved by the grace of God. They go back and they share what God's doing. It's kind of like when we had Bible school and we had some young people get saved and we baptized, and then we see their families come. And then we see grandparents come. And the truth is, some are coming back. But in James chapter 5 and verse 20, says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Then I saw this scripture in the book of Jude, and it's the 21st, the 22nd, and the 23rd verse. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now even though Jesus was weary, when this woman come walking up to him and he saw her, he was moved with compassion. He didn't look at her and all of a sudden begin to judge her. He already knew what was in her life. But what he wanted to do was just like it says here in the book of Jude. He said, of some have compassion, making a difference. So the conclusion, and if you look at Galatians chapter 6, In verse 9, the scripture says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So when I'm weary, I want to go to the place of refreshing. And if I'm at home, I mean, sometimes I really just have to sit down and get in touch with the Lord. I talk to Him. I'm in communication with Him. And then if I really want to get strengthened, sometimes the thing to do is to find someone that you can show kindness to for Jesus' sake. Remember the scripture over in the Old Testament? David said, "Is there any left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And what David did is he called Ziba and he asked the question, and they were afraid because what would kings would normally do is they would kill everybody of the former king's household so that there could be no predecessor to come and take the kingdom back. And they were afraid of what David would do. But Ziba, he said, "Well, there's one. It's Mephibosheth. And he's down in a place called Lodibar." And the words Lodibar mean no bread. And David said, "Bring him." And they brought Mephibosheth, and he was lame in his feet, and he was weary. He had his own weariness and his own burdens. And David said, "He's going to eat continually at my table. And we're going to take this land that was Jonathan's inheritance, and we're going to give it to his children. And Ziba, you and your servants are going to work it, and we're going to bless Saul's house." And I want to tell you that Jesus wants you and I to show somebody kindness for his sake. And if we do, we could very well, and this is the goal, help somebody escape eternal damnation separated from God. And that's ultimately what it's all about. So what to do when you're weary? If I look at Jesus, he went to a place of refreshment. And he found somebody that he could help. Amen? Just the thoughts that I had on my heart tonight. Anybody have a word or anything you'd like to say for God tonight or on the Lord's behalf?